Let's turn to Luke 16 this morning. Probably not what you think. Luke 16. Luke chapter 16. We're going to start reading at verse 1. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg, I am ashamed. I'm resolved what to do, that when I'm put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? He said, 100 measures of oil. He said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. So he gave him a 50% discount. Verse 7, then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of a wheat. He said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. The Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Well, let's bow our heads there and pray. Now, Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, and we seek for light on the dilemmas and circumstances of our lives. We are so glad for the light that came from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for the light of the Bible, and thank you for the light that dwells in a lot of us here this morning, the light of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you'd be real to us as we go through this today. May you again take what the world does, help us to be able to see the value in what's valuable, but also the counterfeit in what's not. And may you, Father, give us the complete truth and help us to be able to do something with it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, woke up a few mornings ago, and it was 2015. There's a lot of us that never thought we'd be here in 2015. I remember going through the whole, trying to date the rapture thing back in 87 and 89 and 93. And there was none of us that would have bet we would be here in 2015, but here we be. Here we are. You woke up the other morning to a new year. We didn't have a New Year's message on Wednesday night because we did something else. So I'm going to preach a New Year's message today. Speaking of the New Year's, there is something that roosts in the culture of New Year that's kind of an iconic ideal in our culture. You'll know immediately what I'm talking about when I say it. And I want to say before I do name it, it's a fine enough thought. I understand why people do it, and I understand what it means. Unfortunately, it's also a counterfeit. It's a fraud for what folks in the main really, really need. This thing I'm talking about appeases the conscience, it gives some hope for reform, and it promises betterment. Importantly, it does not convert. A man needs to be converted. Even Simon Peter had to be converted. And this thing does not convert. It does not make a new creature. I'm talking this morning about the New Year's resolution. Now, I just want to say, I'm not trying to make anybody mad. If you have decided to try to lose 10 pounds this year, again, or eat better, or exercise more, or truly and really get your oil in your car changed every 3,000 miles like you should. If you've avowed to do that, then I want you to know I'm not bad-mouthing you or talking bad about you. I understand what that is, and that is all fine. I just want to say I'm trying to point out that for some, they make their New Year's resolution on New Year's Eve, with a belly full of Fritos and dip in their bellies, and about three sheets to the wind, And, you know, they say, oh, next year I'm going to do better. Yeah, right. Whatever. So I'm not, if you need to lose the weight or lower your cholesterol numbers and you've resolved to do that, I'm glad for you. I'm not talking bad about that. I am saying, though, that that New Year's resolution it's not certain things. And again, it's not a conversion, which if you're lost, that's what you really need. It's not a new birth. It does not make a new creature. Just so you know, if you're saved, by the way, there's also some things it's not. I'm not saying that you shouldn't lower your cholesterol numbers. I'm not saying that you shouldn't pray and make a commitment. I'm all for it. But the New Year's resolution is not the power of God, and it doesn't deliver the grace of God, and it's not necessarily a blessing from God. I'm trying to say this morning that the New Year's resolution is a little bit of a counterfeit. In fact, for most, it's a whole lot of a counterfeit. I would like to preach this morning on true resolve, resolution, resolve, true resolve, talking about the genuine article here, not some hit and miss alternative. It's funny because I sat down yesterday and, of course, working on this and had gotten to about this point in the sermon, writing down notes and stuff when I'm sitting at my desk. My computer dings. I have an email I haven't read yet. So I just, I flipped over and saw what the email was. And as I wrote this out, the email came from Men's Warehouse. I've had two weddings the last 2 years. And so we've done Men's Warehouse stuff, pretty heavy. So they're after me pretty heavy. And it said, resolve to look good in 2015. So I'm writing out a sermon on the New Year's resolution, Men's Warehouse, in that moment sends me resolve to look good in 2015. They don't know that it's going to take more than resolve to make me look good. But whatever. I took it as a sign from heaven. My point this morning is I want to point out some principles that the world entirely misses with this thing. Again, most folks make a New Year's resolution. It's kind of the Mardi Gras syndrome in the middle of complete, utter drunkenness and foolishness. They say, I'm going to do better next year. Yeah, right. Whatever. I've taken you to this text in Luke chapter 16 for a simple reason. This is the only place in the Bible that the word resolve shows up in any form. So the Bible doesn't have the word resolution in it. Okay? But this guy down in verse 4 said, I am resolved what to do. Okay? And this is the only place in the Bible that mentions resolve as such. And I'll talk more about that in a minute. But this text requires a little bit of explanation. You can get off track on it a little bit. I wanted to point out to you that look, this steward is a crook. Okay? He wasted his master's goods, and when he got caught at it, he went and committed fraud and extortion to make things right so that he could hopefully have a place to go after he got kicked out. This guy is a crook. What he did was illegal in any standard of law in this world. It would get you in jail in America. It might get you worse somewhere else. My point is simply that he was a crook. And so you get down to verse 8, and that's where it gets a little confusing, because his Lord, his master, commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Now look, it didn't say that what this guy did was right. It said that the Lord commended him. And I believe the commendation is along this line. I believe the master looked and said, well, at least the guy's pretty smart. Because while he gave me a raw deal, he at least was wise enough to try to make his own bed for his own self. So the Lord wasn't saying what he did was right. The master was just saying, you got to give it to the guy. He did it pretty smart, right? In the end, the guy wound up still being a crook, and what the Lord commended was his wisdom. He said, lost people in their sin, lost people in the world, are wiser after sin and after the world than the children of God are after the wisdom of God, which is kind of a shame. That was the commendation. So I wouldn't want somebody to get some idea that this was okay to do, because it's not. In fact, there's only one thing you could say about true resolve that you could take from this that would be godly. Okay? And that'll be my first point. I would say, first of all, with regard to true resolve, you need to make changes while there's opportunity. This guy said, I'm going to be kicked out of this stewardship soon. I have got to do something fast while I have opportunity to make sure that I have a place to go and sleep when this is over. Okay, that part was wise. It was wrong. It was illegal. But it was wise in the world, right? All right, I can tell you this, though. You need to make changes while there's opportunity. Now, again, I'm not talking about a New Year's resolution as such. Again, this guy did wrong. He defrauded, he extorted his master. You won't get away with that with the Lord. Right? You won't get away with that with the Lord. The only positive here is that he took advantage of what opportunity he had, what window of opportunity, what time he had left to try to make a way for himself. Look, that is the only godly lesson in this lesson. So the only godly lesson you can find where the Bible uses the word resolve in the Bible is simply that you have to make use of the opportunity that you have. Now look, if you're lost, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. Don't care what you say, don't care how old you are, the window narrows every hour that passes in your life. It is appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment. It's too late to do anything after you're dead. You have a limited opportunity. It says, in fact, that James says, our life is a vapor. Shows up for a little time, then vanisheth away. You don't know how much more time you have, and Jesus Christ said, you must be born again. He said further, he said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I'm here this morning just to say, you need to make use of what opportunity you have. If you're lost, that's what I'm first addressing. I just want to say, you can forget about, just forget about reforming. Anything you ever heard about new leaves, forget it. Anything you ever learned or hoped about doing better or trying harder, just forget. Anything you ever heard about religion helping you, please forget. The brutal fact of the matter is you get only so many opportunities. You don't need a religion, you need Jesus Christ. Okay? And every single day that passes, your window narrows. What doth it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You just have a limited opportunity. You have to resolve to make the best of the opportunity that you have. And everybody has the same opportunity to get saved. Once you've heard the gospel, the grounds are all even. Anybody can get saved if you but will. All right? Now, aside from the loss, I should say this. If you're saved, I know that I'm talking mainly to saved people this morning. Don't forget, the window narrows daily for you too. Bible says we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive for what we've done in our bodies, whether it be good or whether it be evil. It's not about being saved. It's about rewards. It's about how you served Jesus Christ. It says that we're not supposed to waste the time, but redeem the time, for the days are evil. And the time is approaching, the rapture, the end of your life. And the fact of the matter is you have to make the best of the time that you have left, the opportunity you have left. If you learn anything from the one act of resolve in the Bible, it is make use of your opportunity, right? So there's before I go on, I need to explain then, since there is only one use of the word resolve, and therefore there's nothing else said about resolution, the Bible actually uses a different word than we use, which is not unusual, and that word is purpose. You'll recall that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not be defiled with the king's meat, right? So the rest of what I have to show you from the book this morning is going to revolve around purpose. And you understand, I think, that this would match a resolution. Look, folks, we're talking about the real thing here. We're not talking about a counterfeit. We're not talking about you having hopes at the New Year's Eve party of doing better next year. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking here about something real. Notice this. Look in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah, that's right, Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 14. Make sure daddy gets there, honey. Just kidding. Isaiah 14. Let's go down to verse 24. Now read what it says here. Pay attention to what it says here. The Lord of hosts, verse 24, hath sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, there it is, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land. This is a prophecy about the nations and about his own land. And upon my mountains tread them underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. This is the land that is, or the hand that is stretched out upon all nations. Verse 27. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, who shall disannul it? His hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? The second bit of advice I have regarding not the New Year's resolution, but a true resolve, is simply find out, first of all, what God purposes. In this passage, God plainly said, I'm the one that's doing the purposing, and who is fit to argue with my purposes? I just want you to take note of that because you realize the rate of failure of mankind when you consider this. Consider all the things that man plans. Consider all the things that man engineers. Consider all the things that man manages to manipulate and put together and try to capitalize on. And then imagine God saying, that is not what I've purposed. I've purposed this. Most men live entirely vain lives, desiring and dreaming about something that God has no wish to fulfill at all. I just want to say, secondly, you should make sure and find what God purposes and then get aboard that. Jesus Christ said to Jerusalem, he said, how I would have gathered Jerusalem as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you would not. I would, but you wouldn't. Right? Now, men are filled with their own dreams. They are filled with their own plans, their own desires, their own lusts, and their own ambitions. And a lot of times what they try to do is they try to sanctify what they want to do by trying to convince God that he should climb aboard their wagon and bless what they're trying to do. And the fact of the matter is, that's not really the way it works. Now again, I don't want you to misunderstand. I'm not arguing here about your resolve to lose 10 pounds or your resolve to lower your blood pressure this year. That's not what I'm talking about. The fact of the matter is, when it comes to lost folks, your blood pressure and your weight don't make a blip on the radar as far as matters of importance. If you live and you're lost, the Bible says you're still under the wrath of God. If you die and you're lost, I assure you that your weight and blood pressure do not matter. My point, ladies and gentlemen, here is if you're lost, resolving to become more religious and more dedicated, to resolving to quit smoking and resolving to quit drinking really isn't much of a blip on the radar. What doth it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Jesus Christ said you must be born again. Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, rose again the third day. We studied in Sunday school this morning that for that purpose were you made. You were made to live a while, get saved, and then die and go to heaven. That's why you were made. Imagine missing the entire last part. Imagine living 70 or 80 relatively successful years down here, having gathered to yourself all the toys you want, maybe all the money that you want. You've enjoyed love, you've enjoyed grandchildren, and you still die because you're unconverted and go to hell. That is the epitome of waste. And my point, ladies and gentlemen, is you need to find what God's purposes are before you start purposing anything. Before you start making a New Year's resolution, you should find out what God has resolved to do. If you're saved, God has a will and a plan for your life. And what happens after you get saved is that the world comes in real hard and real fast and real low. And the world has all kinds of things that it considers very important. In fact, they consider it indispensable. And again, these are things that for the most part are not on God's radar. I assure you, God has not the slightest concern about how many Facebook friends you have. It's not important. And while the Lord may call you to go somewhere and get a degree so that you can do what He wants you to do with your life, the Lord has not the slightest desire that every man, woman, and child in this world get a degree. That is something that's not on the radar. You need to figure out what God purposes and then get aboard that purpose. Now, I can add something to that. Look in 1 Kings chapter 5. 1 Kings chapter 5. If there's something that can be said for true resolve, it is, first of all, that you need to make the best of your opportunity. Secondly, you need to find out what God purposes and get aboard that. Don't just go find what you want to do and hope God blesses you. In 1 Kings chapter 5, you have Solomon talking here, and he says in verse 5, he says, "And behold, I purpose to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God." Solomon was the one that did build the temple. David wanted to. God said, "No, I want Solomon to." He said, "I purpose to build an house in the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, Thy son, whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build an house unto my name." Now, I would point out, first of all, here again, kind of a recurring theme. I want you to take note that this is not Solomon trying to sanctify what he's doing, what he wants to do by asking God to get aboard. This is not Solomon trying to justify what he's doing by asking God to get aboard and do something with it. This is Solomon indeed himself, God purposing that Solomon should do this, naming Solomon, saying, "David, you take your son will build the tabernacle, not the temple, not you." Now, the reason I bring this up, folks, is because it's amazing what people try to get the Lord aboard on. It was just a few years back that there was a Christian pro wrestling circuit. Here's a bunch of people that want to do a bunch of stupidity, and they would like to sanctify the action by having God get aboard and put God's name to it. I read an article one time about a lady who claimed that the Lord called her to be a stripper. I just want to say, there's a lot of that going around these days. And I just want to say that it was God's purpose for Solomon to build this temple. Okay, and Solomon wasn't trying to sanctify what he wanted to do. In fact, I would point out to you, there's a lot of guys that God called to do stuff, and those guys really didn't want to do it. When the Lord called Moses to take the children of Israel out of Egypt, let's face it, Moses argued for two chapters. He didn't want to do it. My point, ladies and gentlemen, is that you need to do what you do unto the Lord. You need to find out what God's purpose is for you to do. If you're lost, you start with getting saved, period. If you take any other action, you're wasting your time. If you're lost, the first step, you need to get saved, okay? You need to determine what God's purpose is for you. And then secondly, you need to do, in that context, what you do unto the Lord. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, the Bible says. Sometimes Christians fail in what they resolved because they're doing it out of duty. They do it because that's the rule. They do it because that's what's expected of them. They do it because they're supposed to. Okay? Now, because I just want to say that that leads to a couple things. Sometimes because a Christian knows what he's supposed to be doing and because somebody's telling him what he's supposed to be doing, that Christian says, well, I'm not going to do it because they keep harping on it. Okay? I just want to say that just because God has expectations of you, it doesn't justify you walking away from the expectation. My point is that just because it's supposed to be done doesn't make it wrong. What makes it hard for you is that you fail because you don't do it to Him. You fail because you don't do it for Him. You know, there's a story you may recall about this lady married a husband and maybe an unwise choice. Guy turns out to be a real slave driver. And so he had all these restrictions. She didn't have very much freedom. If she didn't have dinner on the table at a certain time, hot and piping hot, he was mad and yelled and screamed and all this kind of thing. If she didn't have the clothes washed, folded and pressed a certain way, he was just a bear to live with. And after a few years, she found herself not liking him and hating the marriage. Well, in time, the husband died. And she fell in love with somebody else, and they wound up getting married. And one day after about 5 years, she looked up and realized that in all the things that she was doing for her present husband, she was doing all the things that she had been doing for her past husband, the one that was such a hard nose. She was ironing everything and folding everything just so. She was glad to have his meals on the table at a certain time, piping hot, and the only difference was that she loved him. My point, ladies and gentlemen, is sometimes we Christians fail in our resolve, not just New Year's resolutions, but true resolve, because you know it's expected of you. If I stand up here and yell week in and week out, you need to read your Bible. You need to read your Bible. Pretty soon you go, if I hear I need to read my Bible one more time, I'm just going to leave. And your response is against the expectation. It's against the rule that's being laid down. I just want trying to say, just because a rule is laid down doesn't mean it's wrong. And the brutal fact of the matter is, doesn't mean that it's not God's purpose. The reason you fail in it is because you resent somebody else telling you, not realizing that it's the Lord telling you through them. You need to do what you do unto the Lord and for Him. I'd like to say something else about purpose. Turn in your Bibles to Ruth chapter 2. Ruth. Book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 2, and I know you know this passage, verse 16. Boaz comes along. Her half was to light in a certain corner of the field that Boaz owned. And Boaz's commandment in verse 15 was, let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not. Let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her. And I would say from that, follow the crumbs. Now, I'm not trying to encourage some mystic walk with the Lord here where you just go M&M to Skittle and follow the trail that way. I'm not saying that. I am saying that if you know God's purpose and you are aligned with God's purpose and you do it for a while and continue in it for a while, the Lord is going to give you encouragement. Yeah? I mean, a lot of times, let's face it, sometimes people fail in their New Year's resolutions because, first of all, it's just not real. They have no grounds. They're not doing it for the Lord. Maybe it's not even the Lord's purpose. Don't look now, but it's not the Lord that made the weight charts. Just so you know. Okay? I'm not saying you shouldn't lose 10 pounds. I'm just saying that when you do, fine. But God, it wasn't God that ordained that you had to. My point, ladies and gentlemen, is that if you will find out what God's purpose is, and if you will do it for long enough, somewhere along the way, the Lord will provide handfuls of purpose and encouragement for you. He just will. Now, a lot of you folks know people that have had a plenty of providential intervention in their lives, enough to get saved, and they didn't get saved, or enough to be encouraged to walk with the Lord, and they didn't walk with the Lord. How many times do we have somebody come to church here and say, "Boy, Pastor, that sermon was really good. We were just talking about that on the way to church in the car." But they never come back. Well, it seems to me that you would take that as an encouragement that the Lord actually put in the guy's mouth what you were wondering about in the car, and then you came in, had it addressed. You'd think, well, ding, maybe I should come back. I mean, Pastor, not only was that a really good sermon, but your people are really nice. But they never come back. Man, folks, I don't know how many times I've seen things happen where the Lord leads somebody. I mean, there are providential statistical things that happen where this happens and this happens and this happens, and statistically it's basically impossible that it should. And so the person should know and understand that the Lord has led them to a certain place in time and so on. And somehow or another they manage to miss the message. I just want to say, if you will follow the crumbs, if you will find out God's purpose and follow it and continue in it, you will get encouragement somewhere along the way. You really will. There's one thing I would like to show you about this purpose of God before I move on to something else. Just let me quote you a promise that we Christians all know. And that promise is, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And I just want to say, that promise is no good if you're not aboard with God's purpose. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. If you're not aboard with His purpose, He has no obligation to lead you or to make that promise come to pass in your life. Right? I mean, listen, when a Christian's kid gets sick or gets ill, when a Christian's loved one dies, there's a reason for it. There is. And God will make it come out right. Somebody that's not in the will of God, not so much so. Right? Let me have you note something else here. Look in Proverbs chapter 15. We're still talking about true resolve. Not going to be much longer, but I'm not going to cheat the Lord on the message either. Look in Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs 15. And go down to verse 22. Now, if you've been slack about getting your oil changed every 3,000 miles and you've resolved to get that to do that better this year, by all means do. If you didn't balance your checkbook all of last year and you've resolved to balance your checkbook this year, by all means do. My point is, you've got to get aboard with God's purpose, though, because those things in the end are not a blip on the radar. Look in Proverbs chapter 15, go down to verse 22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. Just leave that stand at that for the moment. Look in Proverbs 20. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. Verse 18, Proverbs 20, verse 18. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. I would be able to give you this advice. Don't forsake counsel. Don't forsake counsel. We sang a song this morning that said, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. The bitter fact is that every single soul sitting in this room this morning has an inclination to move away from God. Your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You're not as pure as you give yourself credit for. And the bottom line is, left to yourself, you will always, left to yourself, move away from God. I don't mean that you hate Him or that you intend to. I just mean that is the way that you're built after Adam and Eve fell in the garden. And when I say that to say this. I'm not using this as a cheap excuse to preach a message on attendance. I'm here just to say that you will not stay centered on God's purpose if you're not getting counsel all the time. Now, by counsel, yeah, I mean preaching. By counsel, yes, I mean teaching. By counsel, I also mean having Christian friends that are reading their Bibles. And by counsel, I mean that you have a Bible that is well used and being read all the time, not by somebody else, but by you. I'm telling you, don't forsake counsel. I mean, the habit of some is to not assemble themselves together because they've grown to dislike rules or the preacher or the preacher's wife or the deacon or the deacon's wife or the way they do things at this church or whatever else. Listen, if you're getting the Word of God, that's what you're here for. You're not here for the social programs for the kids. And if you're here for that reason, you're probably here for the wrong reason. There are programs for the kids. Your kids will get the Bible. But I want you to know that you are here as a parent, as an adult, to get fed yourself and to be counseled by the grace of God, by God Himself, so that you don't get off in your purpose. So with regard to true purpose, don't forsake counsel. Don't forsake counsel. Look in Daniel chapter 1. Daniel 1. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. Quoted this earlier. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. He purposed that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. I'd like to say that I learned from that the right kind of resolve, the right kind of resolution, the right kind of purpose leads to purification, not defilement. You know, as we grow, I've been saved now for all these years, 43 years. And so I've had to adjust my stand on various things through the years because, believe it or not, I wasn't right the first time I read it through. Okay, I mean, I've had to adjust some things. And you're going to have to adjust some things. Your attitudes probably are not the same today as when you first got saved. And that's probably a good thing. And so you struggle and wrestle with that stuff, but I should say this. Given that most everybody has to make adjustments, when you find that your adjustments are leading you to be more polluted than purified, more corrupted than made better, when your adjustments lead you back to the world and back to the flesh, you can know that those adjustments are not of God. That's the wrong kind of resolution. The right kind of resolution has a purifying effect. Does that make sense? All right, there's something else here. Let me have you turn to a couple more places. Look in Ezra. And I'm almost done. Just hang in there. Ezra. Ezra chapter 4. Ezra 4. And Romans 1. Ezra 4 and Romans 1. And in Ezra chapter 4, as you know, the people are laying the foundation for the temple. in Jerusalem after the captivity, or really during it. And verse 4, then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. But they hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. I can say this about purpose. I can say that if it's right and if God is in it, you can expect frustration and obstacles. In this case, it's the people. And it's fair to say that this is the devil's attempt to get them to stop. Now, there's another side to this. Look in Romans 1 and verse 13. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. This is Paul. And oftentimes, that oft times, I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto. He was let. When you serve a tennis ball and it's a let serve, the net stopped the serve, right? So it's not allow, but it's let. It's stopped it. So I was let hitherto. I intended to come to you, but I was stopped. Well, the devil must have stopped him. Well, I don't know. Verse 13. That I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. You see that? Looks to me like the Lord stopped him because the Lord had him get some fruit somewhere else. My point is, sometimes it's not only the devil and the world that frustrate you, but sometimes the Lord changes the plan a little bit and it's not how you expect. My point, ladies and gentlemen, is that you can expect frustration from both the world, the flesh, the devil, and frankly, from the Holy Spirit as well. And there are obstacles that you have to get across because it doesn't go your way. One last thing, then I'll be done. All right, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. This is true resolve. This is how resolve works in the Bible. The Bible uses more often than anything else the word purpose for it, where you purpose to do something. You should be aware what that involves. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. But this is what I really wanted. For this purpose, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, was manifested that He might destroy the works of the devil. The Lord Jesus Christ was manifested that He might destroy the works of the devil. That was the purpose He came. I would point out to you that as much as modern Christians like the touchy-feely brand of Christianity where everything is positive and there is no negative, and it's just a big party, and it's just Jesus loves me, and God is love, and nothing else, and we share and care, and everything is just warm and fuzzy. I would point out to you, when it comes to describing the Bible purpose, I would advise you that it includes both building and destroying. Yes, we know the church is to be edified. Yes, we know that the Lord is interested in building us, Christians, as one new man in the Lord. That much is true. Jesus Christ also came to destroy the works of the devil. I got news for you. This world is your enemy. The flesh is your enemy. The devil is your enemy. There's going to be some things that you are called to do your part in exposing and destroying, if possible, as well as building, and as well as edifying. I just wanted you to see that it includes both building and destroying. Now, I don't know if this has changed many of your views on what this all stands for or not. I don't know how serious some of you may have been about a New Year's resolution. I hope I can convince you that the New Year's resolution is kind of a counterfeit. It's kind of a substitute that's an alternative that's not of very great quality. I hope you can see what true resolve is in the Bible. And it includes these things, and it's different. It's the real thing. If you're lost, listen. Playing around with a smoking habit or a drinking habit or any other habit is a waste of time until you get saved. You're playing around. You're gambling with your soul unless you get saved. That is the first step to a relationship with God. You need to get saved. After you're saved, there are some battles to fight. And yep, smoking and drinking and cussing is among the battles that you fight. Yes. And the Lord is interested in you being rid of them. So, ladies and gentlemen, Christians, you know the battles that come. You know the frustrations, the obstacles. I'm just saying this morning, you need to make sure and keep these things sanctified in your heart, because it's not like the world does things. These things mark true resolve. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, we pray this morning that you'll drive home to the hearts of folks here, both saved and lost alike, if there are any saved. If there are any lost, rather, there may not be anybody here lost this morning. I pray you might, by the Holy Spirit, drive home the manifest need for these things. Father, may you help us to perceive what God wants us to do, for us to get aboard with it. Lord, give us grace and give us help. May again you reprove and convict and help folks to see their need and be willing to accept God's answer for the need. Let's remain with our heads bowed, our hearts open to the Lord here for just a minute. We make an appeal, first of all, and again, there may not be a single soul here this morning in need of Jesus Christ as far as salvation is concerned. But if you've never been born again, if you're trusting a religious exercise somewhere, I don't know, a baptism, a communion, an experience, I hope that you will see that you need a Savior. You need a personal relationship, not a religion. You need a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And on that ground, you must be born again. Jesus Christ will give you a fresh start as a new creature in Jesus Christ. And He's going to work on you then for the rest of your life to get some things square. But salvation can be settled once and for all, immediately and instantly. And He will do that for you. If you've never been down that road before, if you've never done that before, I hope that you will allow us to take a Bible and show you out of it privately how to be saved. There's just nothing more important in life than that. What doth it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? If you're saved this morning, I hope that you'll be reminded of some things I'm sure that you know some about. Hope you won't be romanced and overly influenced by New Year's resolutions and such. You need the grace of God to get where you're supposed to be. You need the power of God. You need the instruction from the Holy Spirit. You need to be counseled at every step of the way by the Holy Spirit and through the Bible to get where God wants you to be. There's no question that He wants you to kick some things. There's no question that He wants you to have victory over some things. But you can't get there yourself. You need the Lord Jesus Christ to do it. And I hope you'll acknowledge it. Now, Father, we pray once again that you'll bless as we stand and sing an invitation hymn. Lord, I pray whatever needs are manifold here this morning, that you would help somebody to make the right decision. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, number 309, if you'll stand with me. 309.
good. Glad you were here this morning. Hope you'll come back tonight, brave the cold again. We'll be back at 5:30 for prayer meeting if you want to come. Otherwise, services at 6. Don't forget the directory changes we need from you if you've had any changes like that. Let's pray and be dismissed. Father, Lord, we are very grateful for the Word of God. It always sheds light into our darkness, Father. The darkness is an encroaching thing. We are so made, Father, in the fall away from Thee that we tend to always be inclined away from You, left to ourselves. Lord, thank You for being so kind as to give us what we need and to fully supply us, Father, for all we need. Asking today that You'll give folks safety getting home, safety on the road, keep the vehicles running. We appreciate the folks that came this morning. We pray You'll bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Good afternoon, everybody.